Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Oh, is anybody out there as excited as I am to hear that music again? I am obviously not Justin Robert Young, but Michael Lauk, and this is a very special iTricks podcast. We are not going to do magic news this week, but instead we will take a look at women in magic. What is it like to be a woman in the magic industry? Is there a prejudice against female performers? What is being done to encourage more women and girls to take up magic as a hobby or even a career? We have talked to a few of our favorite female performers and even a couple of men to get their insights into these questions and a few others. Before we start, I would like to take just a second to talk about the good folks over at Theory 11. If you visit iTricks, then you have seen their videos, you've seen their ads, you probably are already a customer. On the slight chance you are not, or if you haven't been by Theory11.com lately, it's time to go check them out. They are the place to go if you are looking for a deck to make your magic stand out. Over at Theory 11, you'll find Steampunk, Red Monarch, Sentinel, and a whole bunch of other decks. That's not all either. I mean, they're also the connection for new effects. Andy Nyman's The Code springs immediately to mind. And of course, Theory 11 also has cool shirts and other stuff that you need. Next time you are looking for something new, you need a little inspiration, are you just kicking around the net? Bounce on over to Theory11.com. That is, of course, Theory11.com. Better yet, just click on the Theory 11 link the next time you are on iTricks.com. Now let us turn to today's topic. You may remember an op-ed piece we reported on a couple of months ago by Meritis Zurbano, who we will hear from today. In her article, she asked why there were not more women magicians, and it generated a little bit of a stir. Not too long after that, there were some controversial comments on women in magic by a popular English magician, which he did say were taken out of context. And of course, we over at iTricks have been spotlighting some of yesterday's great women magicians in a series of articles. All of this came together and really started to personally hit home when both of my daughters expressed an interest in magic as a career, at least while they are getting through high school and college. Now, even though it might seem like a very modern idea, women have been performing magic for years. Adelaide Herman famously continued her husband's show after his death in 1896. However, she was hardly the first professional woman magician. We asked William Kalush of the Conjuring Arts Research Center, just off the top of his head, how far back he could trace professional women performers.
This is William Kalush of the Conjuring Arts Research Center. And yes, there have been professional magicians that were female going all the way back. They're referenced in early books in many different languages, and many of these we have to assume were professional. The earliest I can think of is a story about a woman doing a torn and restored handkerchief from about the 1590s, which ends up in a book against witchcraft. And I think she got into some trouble or something, but she was a magician. She was doing a torn and restored handkerchief.
Of course, the 20th century saw a growth in the number of women performing magic. Geraldine Larson and her Magigals, Del O'Dell, Frances Ireland, Celeste Evans, Dorothy Dietrich, and Melinda Sachs are just a few that kind of instantly jump into mind. In this age of equality, we would hope that women are treated as peers in the magic community. But is this really the case? We ask some of today's top performers.
Hello, my name is Marites Zurbano, and I'm a professional magician, mentalist, and stage hypnotist. Well, there's awkward moments in magic. So let's say we're all getting along really well, jamming on magic, doing card tricks together, and then someone pulls out the magic ding-dong, which, for those of you who don't know, it's a magic sponge penis. That's kind of awkward when you're the only woman in the room and everyone's laughing about it. Other awkward moments might be that classic magic trick with the five topless chicks, that card trick, you know, a classic when you show five playing cards with topless women or possibly, you know, beautiful women's faces. And then you choose one of the random women, and that woman vanishes and is replaced by a hilariously ugly hag or an ugly fat woman. And we all know about the bra trick, of course. Honestly, though, some people might say, you know, Marites, lighten up. Who cares? Those are really old tricks. They will probably be phased out sometime soon, whenever, later, on their own. Well, that's nice to hope for, but it's better if we all talk about it and talk about why it's not so great. The thing that concerns me the most is that there are many young children and teenagers and young adults, frankly, who walk into these magic shops and are shown these women-hating kind of magic effects, and everybody laughs and jokes about it, and there's no critique. There's usually nobody that even rolls their eyes or cringes, and that's just teaching young people how to hate women. I have to add one more experience that I had in magic that really burnt itself in my mind. So I was young, let's say. I was young in the, what was it? I think it was about the mid-90s. I was at the Stevens Convention in Las Vegas, and they had this great show at the Stevens Convention called, it was Women in Magic, and they had these great female magicians. And then they had the MC that was Paul Daniels. And he decided it would be hilarious to make disparaging jokes about women before every woman came on the stage. It was pretty insulting, and I was pretty insulted. But I was pretty young as well, so I didn't say anything. And, you know, the goddesses bless her, but Lisa Mena actually heckled Paul Daniels and challenged him, and he barked something back, but I just thought, wow, that's really great. And I noticed after the show that no one commented about that misogynistic, kind of hateful MC job that Paul Daniels did that was quite disrespectful towards the performers. And I thought, you know, I was looking around, I thought, we need women to be more vocal about these kinds of things, and I found there was no one talking about it, so I go out of my way to try to talk about how women in magic are perceived.
Hi, this is Suzanne the Magician from Minneapolis. In the beginning, when I got into magic, that was in the early to mid-80s, women being in magic was still kind of an anomaly. And I was this young little thing that didn't know anything about magic. I came in totally green. And so everybody was very welcoming and wanted to be my friend, and it was wonderful, and I felt nothing but community. And I found a great mentor. Al Schneider was my mentor. And everybody was very supportive, except for just a couple guys were a little jealous, but other than those guys, man, it was a very, very supportive thing I found. So in the magic community itself. The filters that I had then saw everybody going out and supporting the guy magicians who had, like, say, the restaurant gigs. And I was supported by most people. But then I got this one specific gig that was at a really, really hot nightclub in town, and it was just a very corporate kind of environment. And two guys in the club who were jealous of how fast I got here, because I think it was like 6 months after I started, 6 or 8 months after I started training with Al Schneider is when I landed this just amazing restaurant gig. And they started passing around rumors that the reason I got the gig was because I was providing, let's say, sexual favors to the management, and that's how I got it. I seriously doubt that they would have said that about a guy magician who had gotten the gig. However, that might have been an easy attack. They could have attacked a guy who got this gig in a different way. I don't know. But when I was viewing it from my filters at the time, I thought it was an attack on the fact that I was a female magician and that they didn't like female magicians. I think that at the time, guys weren't used to having women in magic, really. I mean, in this area, I might have been the first or maybe the second woman to even join this magic club. And my memory is that it was just real soon after women were even allowed to join the SAM, anyway. I don't remember what year that women were even allowed to join. But see, I look at this whole, quote, women aren't supposed to be in magic, that whole generation of the males who have that feeling, they're kind of the old school guys, you know, and one of the things that I was thinking about today is, I mean, what year did women get the vote for, you know, people in politics? You know, it hasn't been that long, really. And some of the people who are still alive who didn't want us to be able to vote, well, those same people might be in the magic community. So it doesn't surprise me at all that there are some men who don't like women being in magic. It doesn't surprise me at all. But we, in our generation, need to stand up and go, you know, we're here.
My name is Arian Black, and I am a female magician. Being a female magician has had its ups and downs. I have made a lot of great friends in magic, and I've made a lot of enemies in magic. It's funny, I have very definite views about women in magic, and I find that there are a lot of men who think that women should be a certain way, but ultimately, it's like anybody as a performer. You have to find your own voice, and you have to let that voice speak for you. And with women in magic, there's not a lot of people to look up to kind of get that direction of where your voice should go, which means that we can go anywhere and do anything. But there is that stereotype of what people think a woman in magic should do. And most of that stereotype is a magician. And the perfect example are things like the movies that are out today. I just saw Now You See Me. And even though they have a female magician in the movie, when they do the backstory on her, you find out that she was the guy's assistant. And they present her as an assistant. And even when they have the four people performing together, she's still presented as an assistant. But Wonderstone, you know, the female magician character in that is presented as an assistant. And so it's not just the magician, the general public's perception of a female magician as a glorified assistant, and that's not what we are. I've worked very hard to be a magician and to be taken seriously, and I have a lot of people and agents and producers that book me because my magic is strong and solid. And it's something that will slowly change. I like to liken female magicians to female doctors in the fact that, you know, 50, 60 years ago, you wouldn't think to go see a female doctor. It was just unheard of. And now you don't think twice about it. And that's the way I'm hoping that women in magic will go, is that you won't think twice about whether it's a male or a female performing.
Jade, the beauty of magic. Here's the problem with being a woman on stage. They don't want to see you fat. They don't want to see you old. That's the hard part. You can never age. but the good part about, for me, is that because of my Asian heritage, I maintain the youthfulness more so than my American counterparts. So that's the down part. The downfall of being a woman on stage is that you cannot get fat. You cannot grow old. That is going to last for a limited time, and then time will take its toll. The aging part is not cannot be controlled, but the weight part can be controlled. Of course, though, the advantage of me performing on stage is it's difficult to tell my age unless my physicality changes. The limitations of my body will dictate what I can perform and do on stage. So because they're seeing me from afar, then I can age longer. But I know that the agility of the body and the flexibility is also always a consideration. Since my performance requires me to move and present the magic, I have to maintain the gracefulness, the flexibility, which is increasingly becoming more difficult as I age. But I accept it. It's all good. Of course, I do my share of my physical training as much as I can and keep in shape, because I know that the future of my career still depends on my body, what it can do and present on stage.
Unfortunately, it seems, at least according to the ladies we spoke with, that there is still a bit of gender bias in the magic community, some of it due to society at large and some of it due to the community itself. After speaking with the ladies, we were wondering what some of the larger magic groups were doing to maybe change the face of magic and include more women. To that end, we talked to IBM International President Bill Evans.
My name is Bill Evans. I'm the International President of the International Brotherhood of Magicians. And we are quite proud of what we have done with women in magic. We have about 6% of our membership are women. We have about 624 female members out of about 10,000. We were the first magic organization to have a woman international president, June Horowitz, some 25 years ago. And Joan Caesar from Canada was also international president in 2008. On the board of trustees, Rebecca Wells is currently on the executive committee. Sunny Johnson just completed her three-year term in July, so we have representation there as well. As far as the conventions go, we have had and featured 14 or 15 women at the conventions over the last 3 years. One of them, Jade, was the fourth winner of the IBM Gold Medal International Award of Excellence in Stage Performance in 1990, and that award's only been given out 8 times over the last 25 years or longer. It started in 1980. So I think, you know, we are always trying to look out for women as well as other all people of any nationality, ethnic origin or gender. We have in Phoenix this year presented the Lance Burton Teen Seminar, where Lance Burton and Eugene Berger and Jeff McBride, Dr. Larry Haas, Sean Farquhar, Bryce Kuhlman, people like that come in and teach the teens. And out of 24 attendees this year, we had 5 women from the United States, from Canada, England, Japan, and Thailand. So we are moving ahead with that and very proud of what we can do.
Hopefully, progress will continue to be made. In the meantime, however, iTrix wondered, might there be at least some advantage to being a woman performer?
Arian Black, and I am a female magician. Well, as a female performer in Las Vegas, I have had some amazing jobs. I am one of the lucky magicians that gets to say that I worked in the show Splash. And I was in the show for a year. I was brought in as a last-minute replacement act, and they kept me on in the show. And that show had some of the best magicians in the world. And I get to say that I am one of those magicians. So I'm really thrilled about that. But if you look at the history of entertainers in Las Vegas, aside from major headliners like Celine that casinos bring in, there are no female stars of any shows here in Vegas. And there is a reason for that. Traditionally in Vegas, it's the Vegas show with all the showgirls, and they'll hire anywhere from 40 to 60 dancers. And they want to give variety to the viewing audience, so they don't necessarily hire a female act to be that variety because they want to give you not just something else to look at other than just dancers, but visually, they want you to see a juggler or contortionist or a singer, and they generally hire men for those roles. So as far as that's concerned, it has been harder to break into that. But as show business changes and as Las Vegas changes with that atmosphere, it has been easier. As far as having a show in Vegas is not all it's racked up to be. It's a lot of hard work. And now, when it's, you have to pay for everything, what they call a four-wall situation, which means that you're paying your dancers, your stage crew, you're paying for the room, you're paying for advertising, you're paying everything. It becomes a lost leader. I've always said this, that in Vegas, it used to be that the casinos paid for the shows, and they had them as lost leaders, and they didn't worry about losing money on them because ultimately it brought gamblers to the casino, and in the big scheme of things, it made them money. But now that they just rent the showrooms out and they don't care about the shows, it's really hard to make enough money to pay the cast and pay for everyone to be there. So there's, you know, that's why the whole face of Vegas is changing today because of that. And it's, you know, the shows are changing, and it's not necessarily who's the best, it's who has the most money now. And so a lot of people in Vegas are leaving and looking for work elsewhere, and it's not necessarily the magic capital of the world. I personally am lucky because a lot of burlesque shows are coming into town, and they do want female performers. And because of that, I'm now getting work in some of the burlesque shows as the magician in the show. So it's being able to grow and adapt and change what it is that you want for yourself as well as what the viewing public expects to see.
Marites Zerbano. As a professional, I would say that skills and experience are the most important factor in getting any quality gig. Being a woman is neither an advantage or a disadvantage. It really depends on the client's needs, really. And to be a successful artist, I like to think like David Bowie. He didn't say this, but I look at David Bowie, and I imagine he must be thinking, you know, he doesn't need everyone to like him, just the cool people. And he makes a great living at it, so just be yourself.
Suzanne the Magician, I will tell you, there probably is a slight advantage to being female, especially if you're a restaurant magician. And I think I also have a slight advantage because I'm small. I'm about 5 feet tall. And so I'm this 5 foot tall kind of energetic little cute little thing, right? And I'm standing at the table. I'm probably eye level with everybody, and they're seated and I'm standing. So there isn't this craning the neck back, or there isn't the magician hunching over like the Hunchback of Notre Dame, you know. So I have that advantage. That's really more of an advantage of me being a short person than being a female, though. Where I think being a female comes into play with close-up magic, I don't know about stage magic because I'm not a stage magician. That's a completely different animal. But with being a close-up magician, I can touch men and women equally. So to use touch as misdirection, which we do, right? I can do that equally. I can flirt equally because it is socially acceptable for women to flirt with women. I mean, you know, we're not talking like overt sexual innuendos or anything like that, but, you know, kind of mild sort of flirting. And I can flirt with both equally, and it's totally acceptable. And there isn't this creep factor for a guy flirting with a girl, and very, very
socially unacceptable, a guy flirting with a guy. So there's this, you can kind of have a playful, relaxed attitude when you allow that flirting to happen. So in that, I think that being a female is a lot better. So if that makes sense.
Jade, the beauty of magic. The good part is, I think seeing a woman on stage is such a novelty still that the public is very open to seeing it. And I enjoy being up on stage and allowing the young ladies in the audience to think, hey, I don't see a whole lot of women up there, but I saw one today. And maybe they'll think later on, for some career choice as they grow older, to think, of course I could do that, even though they're mostly men in that particular field. I think I can do it. I remember seeing this woman magician, and usually you only see men. So I love it when the little girls come up and say, I've never seen a male or a woman magician before. You're my first one, and I loved your magic, or I loved your tricks. These are the things they say. And I just enjoy hearing that. I think to limit a young woman into thinking what they can or cannot do is wrong. And I will always emphasize that with my daughter, telling her, don't let others dictate what you can or cannot do. And then my life is an example for her to say, you know, when I went into it, it was mostly men. Nobody encouraged me. And there were a lot of discouragements along the way. And I had to kind of prove myself, not for anybody else's sake, but for me. I was always into competing only against myself, because I know that in the long run, there will always be somebody better, younger, faster, and smarter in every which way. And I tell it to my daughter. So you can only compete against yourself and do better than you've done before. And that would be the only struggle I would have in this career choice. But all in all, it's been great. I still enjoy the journey. And the many people I've come in contact with, I think I valued those just as much, if not more, than the opportunity to perform worldwide.
And this brings us to the end of a very special iTricks podcast, a look at women in magic today. I would like to thank everybody who participated. Meritess, Suzanne, Ariane Black, Jade, William Kalush, and Bill Evans. I would like to thank everybody for listening. I hope this gives you something to think about, something to talk about maybe at your next Magic Club meeting. And I'd also like to thank Theory 11. Visit them at theory11.com. And I would like to close with one more little anecdote from Merida Zurbano, which I think is fitting because it was her op-ed that started us down this road a few months ago. Thank you for listening, and we will be back with another iTricks podcast very soon.
I love magic, and the first magic experience I had was at, Magic Incorporated with Francis and Jay Marshall. And during my time in Chicago, when I first started learning magic from Bob Brown in private lessons, I have to say that from all the magicians I've ever met in Chicago, none of them ever treated me with disrespect. I've been treated like gold in Chicago, and I credit that to Frances Marshall, because she lived in Chicago, obviously, and was a great magician, and I think that taught men how to respect women.
iTricks.com